CBS. What's the title of it again? Far Beyond. What's that again? Journey Off the Map. Amen. I'm about to say Far and Beyond. Journey Off the Map. Praise God. And that's coming up on July 27. Our VBS is going to take place this year. I think I covered most of the announcements right now. Praise the Lord. I think I did. I got everything. Amen, amen, amen. We got everything. Amen. Praise God. Right tonight, we got a special word tonight. Amen. We got Mr. Joshua. One of our diggers coming up tonight, going to share with us tonight. Praise God. So he got a vacuum cleaner. Amen. He got a prop in Jesus' name. So come on up, Joshua. Get ready to share tonight. Praise God. And God's going to bless. Amen. You ready to go? Amen.
You rise. Hello.
Okay, we're good. All right, it's called Making All Things New. It's by Elevation Worship. It's a great song. It's about making all things new. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. It has something to do with our devotion tonight. So hopefully you guys get it all. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us me this opportunity to bring this word to the congregation today. Thank you for giving it to me earlier this last 2 weeks. Thank you for allowing me to mull it over and hopefully use the words I'm supposed to use tonight. Help you to show up today and for me to decrease and go invisible. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So today we are talking about making things new, called Renew, which we've been talking about, actually, at Zion, the teacher's been talking about for about 2 weeks, which is crazy because I had it written down, well, typed down in my iPad for about 3 months I came back from the States. And so they started talking about Renew, and I'm like, y'all still in my message. Like, I don't want y'all to get bored when I start talking. So it's something that I think needs to be said tonight, and it's from a different angle. It's from my angle. I always do weird angles to stuff, but I hope you guys get something out of it. Now, if you want to write anything down, the definition of renew is to give fresh life and strength to. To give fresh life and strength to. Or to replace something that is broken or worn out. Renew. Renew. All right, I thought those were very interesting definitions for renew. Because you don't really think about that when we say, you know, we're going to renew our minds as Christians. We always say we're going to trying to renew our minds every morning. And we don't really think about that means fresh life. To give strength to. It means to replace something that's broken or messed up. Now, we say that in our Christian vernacular all the time. Like, oh, man, I gotta renew my mind this morning. But do we really know what that means? Do we really know the weight that holds? And I think that's going to be the key to seeing a breakthrough when we talk about renewing our minds. Whenever I prepare a message, I always get nervous because I don't have a plan. It's no plan into how I prepare a message. Just kind of like, hey, give me a word. Let me jump into it. Let's hope it falls on good ground. And that's it. Same with this one. I knew I was going to talk about renewing. I don't know much about renewing. So I was saying, God, why me? All I know is, you know, I know I'm supposed to renew my mind every morning. I know renew vows, renew my license. I know that kind of thing. And I was like, I'm so simple with this thing. And that's what God wanted. God just wants me to be simple tonight with the idea of renewing. It was confirmation last week, actually, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Ms. Wilson shared a devotion in our devotion that she was talking about renewing her mind. And then Monday, Ms. Kaylee, who's here somewhere, or there, she was talking about renewing her mind. So I was like, God, you must want me to talk about renewing your mind. And I was like, God, you're going to have to give me some information because I don't know where to go all the way with this one. And it's because renewing your mind is, I always thought it was just a simple thing. God, I'm praying this morning, renew my mind, make me not punch anybody today, let me read a word, and I'm good. But there's a little more than just that when it comes to renewing our minds. So, turn your Bibles to Romans 12, 2. And many of us know that. Many of us know that. It's going to fall. Romans 12, 2. And I'm going to read it from the easy-to-read version. Mr. Wilson showed us that. And I love the way that it's read or written because it's more descriptive, more able for us to understand. It says, so I beg of you, brethren and sisters, because of the great mercy God has shown us, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to Him, an offering that is only for God and pleasing to Him. Considering what He has done, it is only right that you should worship Him in this way. Don't change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. And a lot of Bible says renew. But in this, the way this puts it is so much better to me. It says, let God change you inside with a new way. Something that stuck out to me the most is renewing your mind starts with God. It doesn't really start with you. God is the one that does the work. He's the one that works inside of us. All throughout the Bible, God is the main reason. Jesus is the main cause. So in order for us to first understand how to renew our minds every morning, every night, every second, we first have to know who to talk to. And of course, it's God. It says, when we allow God to change our way of thinking, we acknowledge that only He can do the work in us. The only way someone can truly renew their minds is first to be being plugged into God, being plugged into the vine. And we know we find scripture on that. That says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. I'll give you the reference later. Remain in me as I also remain in you. This is Jesus talking. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And this is Jesus talking about himself. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. You want to renew your mind all day, you can read a book 100 times over and over again and get nothing if you're not plugged into the vine. The first thing you need to be plugged into the vine. In the verses before that, it talks about how God goes through that vine and over the branches and picks off the things that aren't supposed to be there so that can be a profitable branch. Okay? As a Christian, when we renew our minds first, we must be connected to the vine. That makes you a Christian. All right? Next thing it says, keep going on in that verse, Romans 12:2. It says, then you will be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You will be able to know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect. If we allow God to renew our understanding and our minds, we can then be able to understand God's will and plans for our lives. And it's not the other way around. Now, it says we renew our minds, we'll know the plans God has for us. And a big thing for us is to say, you know, the plans we have that God's going to work out. Which in the Bible, it's kind of rare to see that. It's in the Bible. In Psalms chapter 37, verse 4, it says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But if you read on, it says in verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. So, yes, if we have a desire, God can meet those desires. But he tells us to wait. Why does he tell us to wait? Because usually we're a little off on our desires. Usually he has better plans. In Proverbs, it says, in Proverbs chapter 16, 2, it says, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. When it comes to renewing our mind, it's the same thing. Renewing our mind is getting rid of all the stuff of the world that's in us at that moment, and we're trying to move on with God. We have to commit it to God in order for us to get through it the right way. And I'm trying to keep to my notes so I don't go off because I thought it was some good stuff. It says, the act of renewal is a God-sized act. Let God change you. Now, that's what I want to stick to a little bit right here. Because a lot of the time we do, let me figure it out, and then hopefully God fits into this. When it's not ever that way. It's never working that way in the Bible. Never. It's always, you know what? Let's consult God who knows everything first and then follow what he tells us to do. We're going to look at that in Scripture when it comes to Naaman. If anybody knows Naaman, he's a commander of the army of Aram, which is a place. He's a good commander. He's won many battles because of the Lord. It says it in the Bible. Because of our Lord, he won battles. Naaman. He had one problem. Does anybody know what that problem was? Leprosy. He had leprosy. And we're going to look at what he did to get rid of his leprosy and kind of apply it to the way we should look at, or if you don't want to, you don't have to, but I think what God gave me is we can look at the way we need to renew our minds, all right? And it says, being that renewing your mind is a God-sized act, let God change you. Renewing our mind starts with God. Let's go to 2 Kings 5, 1 through 2. 1 through 19. And I just gave you the background on Naaman. Commander of an army, of the king of Aram. Very important individual because of the Lord, of course. Many victories, very valiant. All right, so we're going to skip a few chapters, and not chapters, verses. And what happens is they end up getting an Israelite girl that works under Naaman's wife. She ends up telling Naaman's wife, hey, your husband Naaman has leprosy. I know somebody in Samaria, I believe, that can heal him. What ends up happening is the king of Aram contacts the king of Israel, and the king of Israel freaks out, and Elijah steps in, and this is where our story is going to begin with us. Elijah tells him, hey, send them to me. I can fix it. All right? So turn to 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Most of y'all are already there. Let me get there. 2 Kings chapter 5. All right. And I'll start at verse 7, talking about the king. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, which was sent from the king of Aram, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back life? Of course, no. Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me? When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him a message. Why have you torn the robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. All right. Okay. So Naaman ends up finding out about Elisha. He goes to Elisha's house. He knows where to go now. He knows where the source is, where the source of his possible healing is going to be. It happens to be Elisha's house. He goes to Elisha's house. Now, what Elisha does is probably not what he thought he would do, but let's read on. It says, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes. Okay, we skip past there. It says, so Naaman went with his horses down to Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, or to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be clean. Naaman's reaction. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would dot, dot, dot. Now, I like to think that Elisha was in the house, and he could see at the door that Naaman was there. I like to think that. It doesn't say it in the Bible. It's just my idea. And that the guy knocks on the door. You know those moments where you're like, don't tell him I'm here. I'm trying to think that Elisha's like, hey, he made it too soon. Don't tell him I'm not ready. Go tell him that he needs to dip in the Jordan 7 times. All the while, I'm sure Naaman is sitting there. I see Elisha right there. Why can't he tell me? Because he gets offended. He instantly gets offended once this happens. If we look in the Bible, it says, but Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. Wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Now, he knows where to go. He has directions, but yet he's mad. He knows where to go. He has directions, but yet he's mad. Now, had Naaman went and jumped in the other rivers, he wouldn't have been cleansed. He'd have just been dipping in rivers, back and forth, never seeing any change, never feeling any new life, never seeing any new skin on his body from the leprosy. But because of the people around him, his servants, they let him know something. They say, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? How much more when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? Now, his servants just told him, hey, you were just expecting him to do some great miracle in front of you and wash his hand up, put his hand over you and ask God to heal you in front of everybody. Now he's just telling you to go take a bath. Go dip in the river. And so, let's see what Naaman did. It says, so he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Now, because he knew where to go, which was Elisha's house, because he knew what to do, dip in the river 7 times, and because he did what he was supposed to do, he was restored. As Christians, we know where to go. We know what to do. But sometimes we don't want to follow through. So we look for that renewed life all the time. You know, I thought this Christian life was going to be better than this. I thought this church was different. I thought I was supposed to bring something to this church. I thought I was supposed to be the one. God, why aren't you changing things now? Because maybe God didn't say do that. Maybe God said something different. Maybe he said, like Mr. Wilson says a lot, stick to the known truth, which is read your Bible, pray every day, fellowship with other believers. Maybe that might help, being encouraged by others. I go to a story where me and Kenneth were on the streets 2 weeks ago. And we were on the streets, and it was pretty bad. And not too many taking any cards. And people were being mean. Some drunk guy was like, oh, this is that religious crap again. I'm like, okay. Luckily, I'm not talking to him. But we met these two guys. They were standing in the corner. First, they were standing there. They didn't even come talk to us. I didn't go talk to them because I was like, that's weird. I don't know what they're doing. Then they left, went down where the bars are, came back. But they didn't drink. So I stopped them. I said, hey, I want to invite you to church. One of the guys, he got super excited. He was just like, why didn't I know about this sooner? He's like, I love Jesus. And he pulled up his shirt. He had a tattoo of a cross with the verse on it. Tattoo of a verse here, tattoo of a verse here, tattoo of a verse here. I'm like, that's a lot of tattoos. But that's awesome. And he got really excited. He was so excited. So excited. And he just kept talking how, man, back home I go to this church. My sister and brother, they're this age. I was the age of his sister and brother, and he was calling them old. I'm like, come on, man. I'm just 28 going on 29. It's not big. And but it really encouraged our spirit that night because we met fellow believers who were able to encourage us. So some of the times we get renewed by things we're not ready for. Sometimes God sends somebody your way to tell you something, and it'll just renew your spirit. We need that as Christians, because if we don't, we lose our way quick. It says, don't let you get in the way of God. Now, I say that because Naaman, after he gets healed, him and his servants, they go back to Elisha, and this is what they say in verse 15. It says, then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant. Now, let's go back again. It says, Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from me. Now, of course, Elisha doesn't accept. But what we see out of that is because of him being renewed, he was able to really see, you know what? This God is real. I understand him. I'm starting to understand him. We're promised that in Romans chapter 12, the verse we first read. If we renew our minds, what happens? We get to understand God's will, his plan for our life. Definitely we understand that he's ordering the steps anyway. So one thing we need to remember is don't let you get in the way of God. Don't stop before you're done. You can't just say, I'm going to open this Bible, I'm going to read verse 7 today. If you will not, I don't think this is good. And leave the house and think you're covered. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You have to acknowledge God, and you have to walk in whatever he tells you to do. They acknowledged God first. Well, actually, they knew that God was real based on what happened. As Christians, whenever we get that revival in our hearts, it ain't us. It's not like, oh, I inspired myself so much. I feel like witnessing today. No, it's God sparked something in you. And this whole message is about how God's going to spark something in you, not how you're going to do anything. Because the Bible doesn't revolve around you. It revolves around God. That's it. Without him in it, no reason for the Bible. Sorry. So we need to start realizing that as Christians, and definitely as a church. It says in Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and for him are all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen. All things. When you need to renew your mind, who gets the glory? God. It's something. When you do anything, who gets the glory? God. The source of everything we do as a Christian is God. Jesus. God. Jesus. Renewing our mind starts with God. It says the Bible also says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Now, renewing our mind. A lot of time when we think about renewing your mind, that's what this here is for. Renewing our mind, we think, you know what? I had a bad day. I need to get some word in me. I need to get flushed out. And that's where it ends. I need to get flushed out. I need to get a word in me and get flushed out. Well, that's not where it starts. God, I have problems. What do I need to do? That's where it starts. And he starts ordering your steps. The reason I brought this out, Monday, it was after the typhoon. Mr. Wilson saw it. There's a whole bunch of water upstairs. A whole bunch of water on the third floor. About an inch toward the wall coming into the room. And it was we had to clean it up. Now, I don't know who gave us this. Did you give us this, Matt? No? I thought Matt gave it. Well, Pastor who? Wally gave us this beautiful shop vac. And I had to use it for about 3 hours. Yep, had to get water up. Because here at Zion, we're the janitor, we're the teacher, we're everything. So I had to get the water up for about 3 hours. This comes with a tube that goes right out of here and that you suck up the water with. Now, I was up there knowing I had to prepare today for today. And I was like, oh my goodness, God, what am I going to, why you got me doing using a shop vac? What's this for? Why is this relevant to me today? You want me to preach and then you give me a shop vac? Why the shop vac? And in that moment, I kid you not, God was like, just keep going and you'll see something. Now, I went back and forth about 10, 15 times with this thing. Picking it up, dumping it out. Starting again, picking it up, dumping it out. picking it up, dumping it out, over and over again. It got very repetitive and boring. In that water was a whole bunch of roaches. I hate roaches. Roach wings, roach legs. I don't even like seeing the parts. It just scares me. But it was all in the water. And the more I could look at it, I was like, God, what does this have to mean? What does this have to mean? And then in my head, I kept renewing the, you know, pouring it out and putting water in. Pouring it out and putting water in. Now, what God told me for sure was, this is me. This is me. This is you and I. We go through life. We go through the day picking up all the dirty stuff, all the roach legs, all the roaches, sucking them in. And we think, you know what? I can fix myself. I can fix myself. This thing is amazing. It cuts itself off when the water's too high. But you don't know that because it still goes. So in order for this thing to be changed, I had to pick it up and pour it out. Now me, I'm not God. But in that moment, I realized this is what God does for us. Every single time we want to be renewed. This shop vac can't do anything once it gets full. Now it keeps going. It keeps going. And it's like it's picking up no water. It's just making noise. But it looks like it's doing the job. But it's doing nothing. It's just making a noise. It's just making a noise. So me, not God, but in the form of God. I'm in the form of God. But, you know, you get it. Example. Don't strike me dead. All right. What I had to do in order to make this thing able to work again, able to function how it was supposed to, I had to open it up and pour it out over and over again. Now, why do I say God's the source of everything? Without me, this thing is just going. The water's not going anywhere. It's just there. It's messed up. It's got dirty, stagnant water in there. It's just nasty. But without me, guess what that thing's going to do? Just be a nasty bucket of water because it sucked up all that nasty stuff. That's how we are. When we need to be renewed, we have to call on him first so he can start doing the work. Now, this thing doesn't have legs, and its only job is to suck up water. It's not to go out and witness, not to go out and win souls. It's just to suck up water. So once I poured it out, guess what happened? It did its job. It did exactly what it needed to do. Exactly what it needed to do. And I was like, God, what does this mean? He's like, that's what renewing your mind does. You get this stuff in the world. We're Christians, yes, but we all live and breathe in a world where people aren't always on our side. People don't always like us. We're not always the best workers. We're not always the best person. We're not always the best dad, mom, brother, sister, whatever. And so we pick up stuff through the day. And we think, you know what? I'm waking up, 5:00, prayer. All right, God, I did my part. Let's go into the world. And you picked up more dirt without actually confronting God. And guess what? When this thing gets full, remember what I said? It shuts off. It doesn't do its job anymore. So a lot of us walk around like, oh, man, God's not doing anything. Why? Help me. I need to do more praying. I need to do more reading. You know what? I need to do this. I need to do that. And I need to do this. And God's like, you know what? It would help if I, you know, took the top off and poured you out. It would help. It's kind of like making everything new. The part that got me the most, at the end of doing that, I had to say, you know what? I want to be a good steward of this shop vac, which I didn't buy. I need to go ahead and clean it out. Now, God is amazing. What he does, every time we get pulled up, he opens it. It took me a while to clean it out, too, because I had to clean this part out, too. He opens this up. He might not have knees. Hopefully he has knees. He gets down on his knees, and he cleans us out every single time. Every single time. So this thing is near about spotless. Now, there are spots in there because it probably hasn't been cleaned in a while. But it's near about spotless, way cleaner than when I started with it. It's not the best thing in the world. And God's like, that's you. I'm like, come on. Why is this me? But he kept telling me, this is me. Because why? Only reason why this has to suck up bad water is because I'm making it suck up bad water. If I fill this thing with some nice, good-smelling water, guess what? This will be a nice-smelling bucket. But I didn't. It had to get the bad water up first, get renewed, and then at the end, I washed it out. I kept washing it out, and over again. Even this part, the parts nobody sees, I washed it out. When I kept washing it, guess what happened? The more I washed it, the more dirt came out. And I was like, man, I'm washing it. Why is dirt coming out? Because that's what happens. When we become Christians, guess what happens? We're dirty, nasty people. We're nasty, dirty people. We have a lot of dirt. No matter how bad you want to clean yourself, you're not going to clean yourself. But what God does, he over and over again. I had to dump this thing out while I was cleaning it. I'm like, not again. I had to keep washing it, dump it, wash it, dump it, until I saw nice, clean water coming out. Renewed water. Now I can drink out of this thing. I'm not going to. But now, if I was brave, I would drink out of this thing because I cleaned it. I renewed what was inside of it. There's something nasty inside, but it had to be cleaned out. That's the renewal process. Thank you, Shopback. It was that simple. We're just like that. We're humans. You're not God. You can't add any years to your life. You can't add any days to your life, any minutes, any seconds. God can. So when it comes to trying to renew ourselves, we need to contact who matters, which is God. It says, actually, we can skip that part now. Good. Okay, so it says, God is there to open us up, pour us out, clean us out, to have us ready to go back into the world to do work. Why do we renew our minds? We need to be ready for the world. The world's always renewing their minds. In fact, the world's trying to renew our minds, TV, media. We get it all the time. Oh, this is going on in the world. Oh, this is going on in the world. And all you see is the same thing. That's why I always post on Facebook, just random things. Hey, this is what's going on in my feed. It's dumb. Because it's the world trying to get in my head. When I watch TV, it's the world trying to get in my head. When I talk to somebody who's not saved, it's the world trying to get in my head. And if that's how my day is going, say you work in a secular environment, which most of you guys do, you're getting a lot of dirt in your head. So you need to renew yourself. You need to call upon God and say, hey, it's time for a cleaning. Which, unlike me with this thing, I got annoyed. He's not going to get annoyed. That's what he's there for. He's going to renew you. It says, the renewal process is a daily process toward a fresh life, which is the definition of renewal. I always wonder why people say they're ready for their day after some small Bible reading and prayer. This is true, but I really now realize that daily, hourly, minutely, that's a word. Secondly, this process needs to go on. I need to always be renewing my mind. Whatever I'm doing, I need to be renewing my mind. It says, now that we have looked at the process of renewal, which is pour out, clean you. Odds are you're going to pick up some more dirt, clean you. And another thing, if you don't confess it all and you don't lay it all down, the bad part is the water will accumulate at the bottom, which means the less work you can do, because guess what? You'll have dirty water in there. So the less work you gets in there, the less dirty water gets in, the less likely you are to be clean. Now, if I were to leave a little bit of dirty water in there and say, hey, guys, nice, clean bucket, y'all be like, that is nasty. With a roach floating in there. But we do that all the time. We say, God, I'm coming to you today. I need you to forgive my sins. I need you to take care of me. But don't take that from me, please. I need it. And guess what? That's taking up some space for some clean water. What we're going to see in Colossians, there's things we're going to throw away. But I believe Ben said it on when he shared his devotion on Sunday night. When we throw something away, guess what we need to do? Fill it back up with something good. So let's look at Colossians. It says, woo-hoo. All right. All right, Colossians. I didn't write it down, but it's okay because I can find it. Colossians 3. It's most of the chapter, but we're going to only hit a few spots. We're going to start at verse 5. Colossians 3, verse 5. Let me get there myself. All right, 3, verse 5. I'll start. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once had, in our old life. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. Where'd that go? From your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Now, that all tells us what we're supposed to throw away. All these things, get rid of them. Start getting rid of them. That's what God's telling us to do. Now, we renew our minds daily, but as Christians, guess what? We bring baggage into Christianity sometimes that we try not to talk about. We need to be getting rid of that too. That's a lot of the renewal process. Now, what you look for, what I call them, is Jesus qualities. Jesus qualities are things that we're supposed to fill our bucket with. Good things, nice water, soapy water. This is what we're supposed to fill it with. And this is where you can judge, not judge, where you can see if someone has been renewing their mind. Because it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So this is just a list of things. Once you've been, you know, when you get saved, you're like, oh, I want to get rid of everything. Once you start doing that, you need to start filling it up real quick with love, patience, all these things. And the most important, he said, is love, because it creates what? Unity. Like I said, we all know, renew your minds every day. Every day. While we're renewing it, we need to be filling it up. Filling it up like it's a car tank or like it's a bucket. I believe if we get down the fact that we need to refuel, that we will see a revival actually here at Zion. A renewal. A fresh life. But it's not going to happen if we just know, hey, read your Bible, pray every day. It's not going to happen. Because unless God's in it. If God's in it, you're good. He's going to take care of it. If you're just doing it to motivate yourself, you know, I need my little motivation today. I don't even know that guy's name. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may now know how to answer everyone. Good. Today I'm going to face somebody that's going to ruin my nerves, and I'm going to tell them something great. That's not how it works. That's not how God does it. That's just supplying our need. Oh, yeah, I feel better now because I was gracious to somebody. No, God does the work inside of you, as it said in the beginning verses. It says, I wanted to read it in, here it goes. Okay, good. All right, now, let's go on to 15. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, in the Bible it says again, giving thanks to who? God. Because none of it would happen without God. He's the only one that can mess with this inside. You can't do anything, then you can't jump in there. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. It says it's clear by the instructions. We have it all laid out, just as Naaman did. What qualities to pray toward, what things to pray away from. We simply need to do as Naaman did with Elisha. Trust God and start daily renewing our minds, daily throwing out the stuff of today and filling it with good things, the pure, acceptable, good, and good things of God that bring glory to God. Finally, I want to read a psalm from David. Now, this psalm, I love the way he words it, because he talks about being broken by God. And for me, whenever I step up here, I'm like, you know what? And Mr. Wilson even said it. When you're doing a message, you got to break yourself. You got to get God to break you. You got to lay it all on the line. You got to be like, God, what's wrong with me? And he's like, oh, all this. And you're like, oh, I can't bring this word. It's impossible for me to bring this word. But that's where he wants you. He doesn't want to use a perfect Mercedes to bring a grimy message. How's that going to work? Spill it with some dirt. Drive it off the lot. No, God wants to use the broken, the willing. We'll see that in the passage from David. In Psalms. So let's go to Psalms chapter 51. And I want to read the whole thing. Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51. All right. And it says, Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Now, why is he saying this? He just committed adultery with Bathsheba. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak, and justified when you judge. Now, he acknowledged that God's not only the God of love that's going to forgive, he's the God that's going to judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop. Didn't look that word up, but I probably should have. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Kind of sounds like Naaman, went in the ocean, dipped 7 times, came up, beautiful skin. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Now, prayer I was praying, I kept reading this over and over again. When I was up there, I was like, you know what? This is a good prayer. I'm like, I'm about to be in front of people. One thing I learned about being in front of people. When I first started, I used to think I was bringing a message for me. I used to be like, oh, man, I'm going to get them today. I'm like, this is a good message. Change some hearts. Now I don't even care about that. I changed my own heart. I didn't change my heart. God changed my heart because of what I studied. So I'm like, oh, you know what? If nobody gets anything, I'm happy. Because I got something out of it. God's been speaking to me this whole time. But as we read, it says, blot out my iniquity. So these are things I was upstairs the whole time. I'm saying, like, God, you got to break me now so I don't break up there. Because I used to come up and be like, I'm good. And I'd break down crying. I'd be like, you said that about me, God? And I couldn't even finish. But a lot of it was because I thought it was me. Now I'm learning God gave me this word. Ain't nothing I can do to it to change it. What you get is what you get. As we go on, it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Let's skip down a little bit. He talks about how God doesn't want a sacrifice. This is what he says. He says, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper, build up the walls of Jerusalem. Now, he knew something we didn't know. He did something wrong. He knew who to contact. He laid it out on the line. He knew God would take care of it. But he first had to acknowledge who he was, and he was a broken sinner. From birth, he was a sinner. Because of God's grace, he's not. We had to do the same thing. When we want to renew our minds, we have to come to God in a way we know, hey, I need to be broken. I don't know what it is, this confidence I have that God, that I'm doing it, but I need to be broken. And he'll break you. He did it to me today. It says, David did the first John 1:9 thing before it actually came out, which means, let's read it. It's 1 John 1:9. Go to 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. Now, we apply this to salvation. But a lot of time when we renew our minds, this is something we need to remember. 1 John 1:9. Come on. Yep, Jordan. All right. This Bible's sticky. All right, 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, David obviously knew this. David was like, hey, Bathsheba was over there. I just messed up. I need help. And so who'd he go to? Straight to God. Laid it out on the line. I messed up. I'm broken. I need you. There's nothing I can do that's going to fix this. Only my broken spirit and my contrite heart is going to fix this because you're going to come in and fix something. Okay? It says, he did the 1 John 1:9 thing. If we confess our sins, we just read it. Let's go to Isaiah 40:31. Now, we just talked about renewing our mind, renewing our spirit, renewing our soul, renewing our relationships, whatever. And it all starts with God. It always starts with God. It'll never start with you. There's no amount of people you can bring in this room that's going to fix you. There's no amount of Bible reading you can do. If God's not in it, you're just getting educated. There's no amount of prayer you can do if you don't know you're praying to. It's useless. But if we do renew our minds correctly, let's go to Isaiah 40:31. Actually, I'm going to read verse 30. It says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. I did. When I first came here, I was like, man, I'm about to change some things. I got some things up my sleeve. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be around Christian people. I'm going to be getting fed. And what happened? Let's do this. Kept getting harder and harder, heavier and heavier. God, I'm in a Christian environment. Why am I feeling worse? Why am I feeling worse? I was growing weary. I didn't really know how to renew my mind at that point. It was just like, you know what? This is bad. I'm going back to the States. Forget it. I'm done. But I learned by watching others, Mr. Wilson, my parents, Mr. Johnson, actually, before he left, Mr. Reeves. By watching, I saw, you know what? There's something they're doing that I'm not doing. I got to figure this out. The known truths. Waking up early, which I was like, no. Now I'm trying to do that because I'm like, I got to fix something. God gave me this word specifically for me. And so I'm sharing it with you. It says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Now, end result, change. Change. A good change. You'll walk and not faint. You'll run and not grow weary. Now, because that's because of a daily renewal. The right way. Accessing the power, which is God, and doing the known truth. And being open to others' interpretations sometimes. Because sometimes they know a little more than you. I dare not say I know more than Mr. Wilson. That's crazy. Yeah, he was wrong. I dare not say that. I can learn some things. With us, as a church, we have a lot of people that can renew their own minds. You know what? I'm praying today, and I read my Bible, and I'm at the streets, and guess what? I just brought them to that chair right there. Because of me, they're there. And then God's like, can't do anything with you. You're full. You're full. You need to be empty. He's shaking you even. You got to be empty. For some reason, we want to hold on to that nasty roach-infested water. Before me, you can come and play if you want to. We hold on to that nasty water, which is messed up. How are you going to reach anybody if when they come by you, oh, man, they are stink. They're nasty. You see the roach fall off their leg? Oh, my goodness. They talk about joy, but they're so angry at me. Oh, my goodness. Renewing our minds is daily, and it's contacting God first. You guys understand that? So, I want to do a short prayer. After that, I'm going to let Mr. Wilson come up. But as we close tonight, let's not forget that renewing our mind means fresh life. If every time you pray to God and you walk out the door and it's like, oh, God, the world, help me. Something went wrong. Because he renews it. He gives you fresh life. For me, after doing this devotion, I was like, man, I'm so hyped right now. Contacted Kenneth. I'm like, man, I've never talked to God this much in my life. And he talked back. But the more he talked back, the more the world and bad things were like, oh, hey, you're talking to God. Now this is going to happen. Now you're going to think about this. And I was like, well, why is all this happening? Because I was in contact with God. The devil knew I was renewing my mind. He knew I was about to be super amped and just share this with all y'all. Now we're all excited, and now we can go out and get everybody else excited. So he knew you guys can do the same thing. It doesn't always have to be at this altar. It can be at your house. For me, it was on the floor upstairs by myself. You can renew your minds, but first you have to contact God. All right, so let me give you a prayer, and I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Wilson. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for using me, a broken vessel, to bring this message to the people. I pray that you just humble all our spirits and show us that none of this is possible without you. The house we live in, the car we drive, the kids we have, the family we have, the friends we have, none of it is possible without you. I thank you for everything you're doing in my life. I thank you for everything you're doing in everybody else's life here. I pray that you continue to spark revival in our hearts and renew our minds and our souls and our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen.